Hello, it's Friday the 17th of February, and this is a podcast from the Great Central Gazette. It's kind of the first conversation we've had together, so I'm going to go around the table and get everybody to introduce themselves very quickly, and you've got to say that one word that describes you in your very brief introduction. So we'll start, we'll go around clockwise from me.
So I'm Reese. I'm one of the co-founders of the Gazette, and I really struggled with trying to come up with one word, but I would probably say hardworking.
Oh, that was my word. Okay. Hello, I'm Megan. I'm another co-founder of the Gazette. I'm also doing a PhD at De Montfort University and do some other fun stuff, but I would probably describe myself as quite determined, I think. If I set my eyes on a goal, then I really want to achieve it.
Hi, I'm Emma. I'm like the three amigo, I guess. I'm the third sort of co-founder of the Great Central Gazette. And at a push, if asked to think of just one word to kind of summarise myself, I think it would probably be self-defined. I think that's probably the most accurate word that covers me.
I love that.
Okay, and I'm Rob Watson, and I'm a supporter of the Gazette. I'd kind of do stuff around community media, and I don't know, I suppose I see, how do I define myself? It's kind of a little bit of a kind of a fixer, does a generalist, does lots of different things, but tries to sort some problems out. That's how I'd like to see myself. I'm not sure whether that's how other people see me.
No, I think that's quite accurate.
Is it? Yeah. As vague as it is. So the purpose of what we're just going to do is we're going to have a nice relaxed conversation just to kind of introduce ourselves and to think about what has motivated each of us into bringing the Gazette and supporting the Gazette and how other people might get involved. And so now I'm going to go anti-clockwise. So I'm going to go back to Emma now. Because Reese indicated that he didn't want to be thrown in at the deep end to take this, because he's typically the spokesperson for this.
I don't know, picking one word is being thrown into the deep end.
So just explain to us a bit about what you see your role as, Emma, and how you think that will develop through, and what the purpose for the Gazette will be.
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. And for people that don't know, I mean, this has kind of been a year in the making. So my role has kind of shifted throughout that, from originally sort of Reese coming to me with the concept and thinking, do you think I'm mad for doing this? Do you think it's a good idea? And then me coming on board and supporting and saying, no, I actually think it's brilliant. And if we can pull it off, then it will be something really worthwhile doing and hopefully something great for the community. So I would describe myself sort of a year on as being sort of a community organizer and like supporting editorial. So I would say maybe editor, sort of community organizer / a group advisor / the kind of realist / pessimist that helps solve problems. I think that's my role.
And just tell us a bit about the how you defined that role. So what was the word again? So just remind me the word that you came up with
previously. So yeah. I said self-defined. Yeah,
right. So what does that mean to you? Well, explain a little bit about what that, how did you come to that point?
I think basically that I've done lots of different roles previously, and I think that to kind of summarize all of them, I've kind of gone into situations where I sometimes have experience with doing different things, or maybe perhaps don't have the most experience as everyone else in the room, and have really kind of worked hard to kind of achieve things. And I think that so naturally I think that I've like defined who I am and my roles within organisations myself. So I think that's kind of why I chose that word, because I think that what I'm able to do, and hopefully other people see that as well, is come into situations and bring something to the table. And I really see, I mean, that's what I've done with the Great Central Gazette, and hopefully that's been appreciated. But I think self-defined is something that resonates with me.
I hope kind of as part of the conversation that we draw out more about self-defined for what do you bring to the table? So you've got at the table, you're self-defined at the table, but to do what? I think that's the next stage, and that we don't have to know that now. That's the journey that I like that we're on. You know, it's the way. Megan, what about you?
So I joined the Gazette more recently, and obviously absolutely thrilled to be working with Reese and Emma, and to be in a team I think that is so supportive and passionate and just equally share this common goal to do something really good for Leicester. And so I'm overseeing more of the communication, so specifically the social media, the podcast, which is what you're listening to now, the newsletter. I'm a creative at heart, so I always knew that I wanted to do creative writing as an undergraduate. I did film and creative writing at the University of Essex, and then creative writing as a master's, and now creative writing again as a PhD. And it's something I was always really passionate in, but something that not a lot of people around me sort of shared that passion for. And so I really had to try and find avenues that I could go down in my career that would lead me to that ultimate goal of doing something that I was really passionate about, which was creative writing. And so I see the Gazette as a fantastic opportunity for creatives in Leicester, for people in Leicester who want to pursue a career maybe in investigative journalism or in writing, as an avenue for them to get into it, because there aren't a lot of opportunities, I think, in Leicester for that sort of thing.
How do you define creativity? What is that creative thing?
So for me, in terms of my creativity, it's getting that internal monologue that you sometimes have rattling around in your head where you think there's an idea here or there's a story here, and putting it out into the world. That for me is what creating is.
Rhys.
I'm the mad one. Ever the optimist. Like Emma said, I originally came to her with the idea, primarily because I was sort of dissatisfied with the media in Leicester, and more widely as well on a national scale. And as somebody who trained as a journalist and is from a working class background, I found that the current system of media is very much broken, and there needed to be a new way of doing things, and that sort of manifested itself as the Great Central Gazette. And like Emma, I trained in investigative journalism, and the Gazette is something that I want the Gazette to focus on investigative journalism, because there isn't that in the city, and there are a lot of issues that need an in-depth look. I think personally, I want to create something beyond media as well. Like, the newspaper is, you know, it's radical, it's new, it's independent, but also more recently I've been thinking about what kind of workplace we want to foster at the Gazette, how we want to engage and communicate with members in the wider community. I really want people to be involved and to feel welcome, and, you know, we're going to have an open doors policy at the Gazette. So for me, that's what it's all about, really.
One of the challenges is, I think what you describe in a way is completely accurate about our media lacks any understanding of what it means to belong and what it means to participate within social life, community life, local life, whether it's place-based or whether it's identity-based. How do you think, looking, you know, kind of from this point of starting the journey, what do you think your expectations are about how you might foster that belonging, and what the role is more widely, the criticisms and the benefits of different types of media? Who do you look to? What are the examples that you think about? Who wants to jump in with that?
I can start. So to kind of go back to what we were speaking about before, like when Rhys came to me with the idea, I had been living, so I came to Leicester when I was like 18. I was born and like raised in Luton, which is not that far away, and has like quite a lot of similarities actually to here. I would say Leicester's like a bigger version of Luton, really, with a clock tower. So I had been living outside of Leicester, like during sort of lockdown. So I kind of returned after lockdown back to where I felt like was home, which was here. And I kind of felt really disconnected, you know, hadn't been in the community for like a space of time. And I kind of thought, and I had this conversation with Reese, I said, I think it's a great idea, but what I would want to think about is, as someone that's come back and does feel disconnected from the community, how would I want to consume things? How would I want to like be involved in communities again? So I think my role and like my involvement in the Gazette has really quite been a personal one, to get back out into the communities and talk to people and just feel like a sense of home again. So for me, it's come from quite a personal kind of point of view to feel connected with others. And I think part of that it's just been actually going out and meeting people and speaking to people and not being shy and not feeling not confident enough to have conversations with people about what's going on in their lives. You know, like just stood in a queue. I think it started when I moved back and I was just standing in queues at like post offices and things like that and asking people like how their day was and hearing what they had to say and actually listening to them.
In your training and your education about journalism and your interaction with other journalists, does anybody ever talk about feelings?
No. I mean, that's a really good question. I mean, I think the short answer is no. And I think that it's kind of a lot of stuff is devoid of emotion these days. And I actually think that, you know, when you're, especially with sort of local reporting as well, like you're reporting from your home patch. And I think that there's always going to be, you know, emotions there and thoughts and opinions. And I think maybe, I don't know, maybe on sort of a national scale or more of a corporate scale even, I think maybe the attention is focused on thoughts and opinions and viewpoints rather than sort of how people feel about things. And I definitely, like, as someone coming into this, I definitely pick up on people's feelings a lot. So that's something that I tend to kind of get to the heart of in the first instance.
In that context of, if you like, the model is, I'm not saying this is what will be in the future, but it's a useful starting point to think about. If it's a feelings-driven model of thinking about belonging and that feeling of connection, I suppose the question that comes immediately to mind is, how do we distinguish a role for objectivity? Because you can get wrapped up in something and you can be passionate about it, but is that the role of, as a journalist or as a reporter, you've kind of sometimes got to step back from that and say, actually, we're looking at this in a more impartial way. We're looking at the evidence and the empirical data. And you have to put aside some of those feelings, but you're human beings. And Megan, how would you see that process of managing that tension between, you know, feeling your way into something and then looking at something and saying, hang on a minute, there's an objective criteria to this?
Yeah, I think it's really hard because I think we are all shaped by our experiences and shaped by our feelings towards things. And it goes without saying that the Gazette is going to be, you know, an unbiased source of information. I think it's also important that we are a newspaper that fights for what we believe in terms of potential instances of racism, sexism, homophobia, and kind of distinguishing that having unbiased media does not necessarily mean that we can't then call out those instances in the city that we see and we identify. I think when we talk about belonging as well, belonging is really individual, and I think every single person has a different definition of what belonging means to them based on their own experiences, which is why I think our model of bringing the community into the Gazette and giving them the platform to talk about the issues that are really important to them, I think in turn creates that feeling of belonging because it allows them to define it themselves.
Yeah, just to pick up on what you just said there, Megan, at the end, we can't do this alone. Like you said, we all have individual experiences, and part of our model, being a cooperative newspaper, means that we can cooperate with others and bring people into the conversation and identify quite clearly if something is wrong, we'll say it's wrong. while also being quite, you know, laying out the facts, not making up whatever in our, say, news stories, for instance. And I think if we weren't a cooperative, if we didn't have this sort of environment of collaboration that we're trying to foster, an independent media outlet in a city like Leicester, that's as big as it is, wouldn't thrive. It might survive, but I don't think it could go particularly far, because there will always be a gap in such an organisation that can't be filled by any other means. Yeah.
How do we avoid the a lot of distrust? People distrust our media, and a lot of people distrust journalism, although they use it and they rely on it. There is a distrust there. How do we? Because and that distrust is often based on the sense of exploitation that goes with it. You know, we've seen the scandals in you know, that led to the closure of the News of the World, that kind of thing. And there's always a sense that you get, you know, social media now is very exploitative and clickbait and things like that, and it becomes a cynical exercise. What's the approach that you want to develop for the Gazette that kind of clearly delineates between where would you think that you'd be crossing the line about exploiting something and becoming a lazy hack, to use a phrase, and maintaining that passion and care and commitment and that sense of identity and belonging?
Well, I think most people who will be listening to this will be listening to it on the Great Central Gazette website. And you only need to scroll down the page to see that we are regulated by IMPRES, the independent standards and regulator for journalism and the media. And following their code of conduct, their standards code, is really important for us. If we didn't, you know, we would be that sort of regular old hack who can say whatever they want. But we are governed by a document, a code that has consequences if we break that. And it doesn't stop there as well. Sort of in our internal day-to-day practices, you know, we'll have policies that and workflows that mean that we're not going to stray too far from sort of key values of objectivity and neutrality. And
you're aiming to bring in a level of transparency with that.
Yeah, I think for me, the main thing is that, you know, we're doing this in our own time, right? So naturally, we have taken our time with things and handled things with care. Not to say that other people don't, but I fully understand and recognise that if you're working sort of a 9-to-5 and you have a high workload, things might slip through the net, right? So naturally, I think you're right. I think there is a distrust widely sort of between the sort of, if you want to say the public and journalists then, or community reporters, etc., then fine. I think that could be down to sort of the way that people report things, but it can also be down to how that kind of interview has been carried out. So, for instance, you know, what we do and what I do is I'll jump on the phone with people for an hour. That won't necessarily be the interview. Like, we'll just talk, and that will be off the record. And I think that it's about treating people with decency and respect and not using them for a story. That's not the end goal. It's not the end goal for us. We're not looking to put 3 or 4 pieces out a day. We're taking our time with this, and we're doing it because we want to do it, and because we're passionate about it, and because we want to, you know, have a positive contribution to our community. So I think that naturally there are things that we put in place to be able to handle things with care and to be able to follow through on processes that mean that people are really taken care of, including ourselves.
And I think as well with things like IMPRES, like I mentioned as well, they have a complaints process, but if we're taking our time with the journalism that we're producing, my hope is that it won't get to that. You know, we won't have people making complaints because we're pursuing a slow, more quality-driven journalism. But, you know, we've got that foundation there that if we do make a mistake, if we do accidentally rush something, then there's safeguards and barriers in place that the local community can recognise as being effective and useful.
And the perception of that has been, you know, news is fast, news is constantly updated. There's projects I've worked on and I've got friends. People think somehow there's a big office somewhere with loads of hundreds of people working in it and coming and going. It's like, no, it's three or four people doing the work in whatever time they can get between their freelance work. Megan, in terms of the peer groups for the Gazette, who are the peers that you want to be able to hold your head up and kind of say, you know, that you're aligned with, that you draw, you know, you're inspired by?
Yeah, of course. So obviously at the Gazette, we have our board members who are, you know, including Rob, is a fantastic group of people who can hold us accountable, who we can talk to and get advice from. We will have obviously our volunteers and our wider members, and with our model, the members will have that direct line of communication to us. So there's not going to be a barrier between us and our members. But I think most importantly for me is that as cliche as it sounds, the people of Leicester are also going to be one of our peers, because we are going to work directly with them. We are going to hear from them, hear their stories, hear their issues, hear what they want to read. And I think when we talk about avoiding that sort of clickbait, fast journalism approach, it's the fact that we're not going to be jumping on these trends and getting out content as quickly as possible. We're going to really focus on these well-researched, long-form articles. This isn't going to be a newspaper that you quickly read a headline while you're scrolling through on your commute and then flick away and move on to something else. This is going to be something that you can really sit down with and really digest and look into something that is important for the people of Leicester. And so for me, one of our biggest peers and one of the people that I really hope hold us accountable as a newspaper are just that, the people of Leicester.
Other media organisations, Reece, that you've got in mind that would be your peer network that you want to sit alongside and live up to the work that other people have done? Who have you got in mind that you like, that you're inspired by?
For sure. So we're quite plugged into sort of the independent media networks. We're members of the Independent Media Association, and that association has among its membership 70 independent media organizations, and some of those have been going decades. They do really great work. You've got the likes of Open Democracy, the Bureau of Investigative Journalism, Byline Times. They're all great publications, and we would like to be held up to the same standard that they are. More locally, we've mentioned before in other interviews that we've based our model off of the Bristol Cable, who are also IMA members. They run their newspaper, their local newspaper, out of Bristol on a cooperative model. And we've sat down with them a few times and had plenty of conversations with them about how we can make this work for Leicester. And it's those connections like that in the independent media scene, and also more widely the cooperative movement, that make the Gazette really special, because we have friends all over who can help us with advice, will quite plainly tell us if we're doing something wrong. And I think that's really important, because I want to be pulled up on my mistakes if I make one, so I can improve, and you know, we can create something that's better than what's already out there.
It's also a great support group and network to have, because, I mean, it's great to be pulled up on things that, or you know, you might potentially be doing wrong, or to have advice. But it's also been great to kind of have people say, actually, I think that's a really good idea. We didn't do it like that. You should definitely go for it. That's been a really nice kind of environment for us to be in, because this is like a learning process. You know, it's been a year in the making, but that's not to say that when we launch, everything is going to be tidy and that we know everything and we're up and running and nothing, you know, we're never going to make a mistake or we're never going to learn or progress. I think that this whole process, the Gazette, is really a learning experience for us.
I've got a couple of last questions. The what you said then about this being how to make this work for Leicester, that is the key, isn't it? What do you see is the that you're going to try and discover how to make this work for Leicester. What do you think the key things are that you maybe need to do which are different from other places? What is it you're looking at that would make it work for Leicester?
So, as we all know, Leicester is an incredibly diverse city, politically, ethnically, culturally. And what one key practical way we want to sort of foster that is through accessibility. For instance, on our website, you'll see there's a little icon in the bottom left that should say accessibility tools. If you click on that, it opens a toolbar that will allow you to translate the Gazette into over 100 languages. In a city like Leicester, you couldn't have that. We can't just be an English language newspaper. There's so many people out there with stories to tell, and we want to listen.
Megan, what about for you?
That was good, wasn't it?
I do well sometimes.
Oh, wow. I was stunned to silence.
And so it's like harnessing the technology in order to be able to tell stories.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's what I'm so excited about in terms of the different platforms that this is going to be on, because we're acknowledged that not everyone is going to sit down with a cup of tea in the morning and scroll through the Gazette and, digest their weekly, monthly news or whatever. People may want to listen to it as a podcast. They may want to follow us on social media. And there are so many different avenues that people can keep up to date with the Gazette. And that's what I'm really excited about, because we acknowledge that not everyone absorbs news in the same way. And I think going back to what Reese said is it's going to be kind of a constant evolution. And what the best way for us to serve the people of Leicester is for us to respond to the feedback from the people of Leicester and constantly evolve as a newspaper.
Emma, what about you? What's that thing that's kept you from going back to Luton and staying in Leicester?
I do go back. I've still got friends and family there.
I mean,
they'd love
to live there, though.
But yeah, do you know what? Like, when I moved here, I just became very comfortable here very quickly. And I think that, not to say that I wasn't in Luton, it is home. I still have, a lot of love for Luton. But Leicester is home. And like, it was funny, I went to see my grandma the other day, who lives in Luton still, and she was trying to explain where something was, and she was like, oh, you know this street? And I'm like, no, I have no idea where that is. And she was like, oh, Em, you're from here. And I was like, yeah, but I'm kind of not. I know I was born and raised here, but like, thinking about the names of streets and where things are and what buildings used to be and all of that, like, it's strange when you move somewhere different and you've been here for a while how things change. And I'm like, I could name like most of the streets. Like, if you asked me, if it was the same conversation but she was sat in a house in Leicester and she said, oh, do you remember, like, oh, it's on, you know, it's on Granby Street, or it's over here, or it's on Charles Street, and then I would know exactly where it was, but I had no idea. So
isn't that a fantastic test?
Yeah.
For all of our media to say, do you know where your local media particularly, do you know your local area? Do you know where things are? That's one of the things that's disappeared, because places, remote working and working in different cities, producing something and faking local media to make it look like it's produced, but just using apps and Google and all the rest of it to create a fake sense of local identity. But you need to know what it's like to stand at the Haymarket bus station and wait for a bus.
Like 6 a.m. in the morning with like a one pound cup of coffee that wasn't very good, and like, we've all done that, I've spent a fair amount of time doing that most mornings.
So when we have our trustees meetings, that's the kind of questions we'll be asking. When did you get out? Get out of your house. When are you sitting in the, when are you going to the market? When are you, waiting at the bus stops? When are you travelling around the city? That's got to be a big part of what we do. So
yeah, I think Leicester isn't necessarily a place. Leicester is the people. And when we talk about the different streets and the different areas of Leicester, we're not talking about it in the same way that Google Maps would. We're talking about the memories and the history of Leicester. And what I'm really excited about coming from, because I live in a village outside of the city of Leicester, about 10-minute drive away. And I think what's going to be great about the Gazette is, as we continue and as we develop, we are going to be able to serve Leicester as a city, but also some of the close by surrounding regions, and tell their stories as well. So it goes beyond the city. It goes beyond kind of the immediate sort of Google Maps overview of Leicester, and goes more towards kind of the history and the people within it.
So, last two questions. The first one is, what you're looking forward to in getting things started, and where can people get in contact with you?
I guess that's been directed towards me. I'm particularly looking forward to two projects that we've got coming up over the spring. So we have a series of launch articles out now, but what's really exciting is we have an election around the corner, a local election. And arguably it might be one of the most important local elections in Leicester's history, at least in the last decade or two. Not only will all the councillors be up for election, the mayoral role will also be up for election. And there's a lot of sort of ongoing issues in Leicester that are going to be picked up in that election, and recent issues that are going to be touched on as well. But aside from the election, which will be our litmus test, we have recently received funding from De Montfort University to write a series of articles on sustainability and looking at what a green city in Leicester might look like. Now, that should be about a three-month project. We'll run a series of events alongside those articles, and we'll also create media in different formats like podcasts like this. And that's going to be a really exciting project for us because we're going to be working with students to produce that and also going out into different neighbourhoods of Leicester that aren't typically reported on and sort of getting their two cents about what they want to change in terms of the environment in Leicester. How can we make the city a happier place to live, a healthier place to live, for instance? And if anybody wants to get involved with either of those projects or the Gazette more generally, we have contact information on our website that you can find at the bottom of the page. Feel free to email us, call us. You know, like I said before, we have an open door policy. We want to hear from you. We're willing to listen.
And for somebody listening, what are those contact details? Twitter?
Twitter and Instagram at the Gazette Co-op. By email info@greatcentralgazette.org.
And the website?
greatcentralgazette.org.
These will all be in the description as well, so I urge you all to go down to the description and look for the contact details there, because I'll make sure to include all of the links as well.
And don't hesitate to reach out and get in touch. I mean, you know, we've got an open door policy. Don't be shy. Come and talk to us.